Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
To call this week a wild week is a profound understatement, but maybe that's okay because it feels increasingly difficult to find the right words to describe what is happening in America right now. For years, we have all demanded the government release the full Epstein files. Despite having a sort of loose grasp on what that actually means, all of us, left, right, center, we want to see every email, every log, every name, whether that's in a grand jury transcript or it's in witness testimony or it's in charging documents, whatever. We don't care. We demand it. We demand all of it. Is that a thirst for justice or is it just an addiction to scandal, particularly where kids and sex are involved? Whatever the answer is, it has felt tantalizingly out of reach for a long time. And this issue, Epstein, it holds a certain power and it bears a certain weight and it forces us to really look at ourselves in the mirror, something we kind of hate doing, because we see ourselves, we see our warts and our wrinkles, we see who we really are when we're honest with ourselves about this issue. There is extremely little room here for equivocating or spinning or partisan BS. There is no gray area. There is no comfortable middle ground. We do not get to feel both safe and satisfied when we do that. When we look at this issue honestly, we look at ourselves in the mirror, we are what we see. This week, the House and the Senate both overwhelmingly voted to release the files that are currently at the Department of Justice. Now, there are other Epstein files out there, and I'll get to those in a minute. But this week, Congress voted to compel the DOJ to turn over everything they have. And the vote, I mean, you saw it. It was nearly unanimous. But for one Louisiana congressman who conducts himself in a public in a way that makes you think he'd need help opening a Ziploc bag. President Trump has already signed this bill into law. It's called the Epstein Files Transparency Act. So finally, after a decade of conspiracies about secret client lists and flight logs and who's hiding what, we did this. All of us together here, Americans, all of us listening. We did this. We pressured the political system until it yielded. And it said, all right, turn the lights on. And you can feel that the vibe has shifted, can't you? It feels like there's a new sort of energy in the air, like they changed something, like when you get deja vu in The Matrix, remember? If you don't feel that energy now, I'm sure you soon will. But there is a certain corner of our society that is really going to struggle to adapt to this new reality. Especially those of us who have been operating under the assumption for the last decade that Democrats and liberals specifically are the masterminds of this global child sex trafficking ring hidden underneath pizza parlors. So let me talk directly to that group for just a second. If we truly believe that Democrats are running secret child trafficking networks, if we sincerely believe that Hillary Clinton has hidden tunnels and Nancy Pelosi is smuggling preschoolers into the DNC underneath her scarves, then look at who we trusted to expose that. We trusted Republicans. We trusted Donald Trump. We trusted the people who told us, don't worry, we will bring justice. And what did they do with that trust? I'm going to give you a little list here, and I urge you to pay close attention to this. Maybe stop what you're doing. Maybe even pull over the car. Hear me. What did the Trump White House do with the trust that we gave them? Number one, earlier this year, Trump's team stepped in to help Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate, if you don't know, is this sort of hyper alpha male masculinity influencer charged with human trafficking and rape in Europe. And he came here in February, and while American law enforcement authorities were doing pretty routine cop work on him, given his record, the Trump White House leaned on federal agents to stop, to give him his phones back, to give him his computers back, to ease up on their investigation. Those agents were told to stand down, to not make it uncomfortable for Andrew Tate to come to the U.S. We gave Andrew Tate a lot of room to breathe, given what he's been very credibly accused of. Again, rape, serial rape, and human trafficking. So if your heart is telling you, protect kids. If your heart is telling you human trafficking is bad, rape is bad, it should disturb you and it should confound you that the White House stepped in to make sure that this guy got handled with kid gloves by the very same people that we entrust to keep people like that out of our country. Number two, and you might remember this from earlier this summer. Maybe we didn't get a chance to talk about it here, but Tom Alexandrovich is a foreign official. He's a senior Israeli cybersecurity guy. And he was here in America, in Nevada, and he was arrested in a sting involving minors, luring a minor with a computer for a sex act specifically. This man was arrested. And then we let him get back on a plane to Israel almost immediately. He posted bail and then he fled the country. And he didn't really get in much trouble here with the feds. Local authorities in Nevada, they called the way that the feds handled this man's case totally unusual. Obviously, he's a flight risk. But the people that had the power to do something about that didn't. The Trump administration, when asked about this, says, oh, it was all totally routine. Everybody swears it's all totally normal that we let this guy go. Sure. Fine. Number three, this is somewhat of a sidetrack, but you remember Trump's blanket pardons for every single person charged with a crime related to the sacking of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th? Those pardons swept up multiple registered sex offenders, men who had abused or raped kids. Apparently, if you break windows at the Capitol for the right guy, it doesn't matter if you're going to reoffend or if you're a flight risk or whatever. Because the Trump administration could not be bothered to go case by case with these people, dozens of men with sex crimes on their record are free today. The Trump White House just called them all patriots and then flung the doors wide open. No questions asked. Number four, while we're here, let's not skip over the obvious part. Donald Trump himself was found liable for sexual abuse. And for those of you who aren't sure, that means he did it. E. Jean Carroll told a jury that he forced himself on her in a department store dressing room, and the jury believed her. E. Jean Carroll is not alone. More than two dozen women have publicly accused Trump of groping assault, being cornered, being grabbed. Grabbed. Grab them. You remember the power of that word. Grabbed. I don't have to tell you what that means, you know. So when a man with a history like that, a record like that, keeps showing up in Jeffrey Epstein's orbit like a recurring cast member, maybe the question isn't, why are Democrats hiding something? Maybe the question is, why did we refuse to see what Donald Trump kept putting right in front of us? I want to talk about these Epstein emails. These are emails that came from the Epstein estate because Congress subpoenaed them. And these are totally different from the Epstein files that Congress passed a law to release this week, the Department of Justice files. I'm talking about the emails that the House Oversight Committee asked for and received and released to the public earlier this month. And what they say in these emails is staggering. It freaks me out.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
In one email, Epstein wrote, quote, "You see, I know how dirty Donald is. My guess is non-lawyers, New York business people have no idea what it means to have your fixer flip." End quote. That's Jeffrey Epstein saying that Trump's fixer, Michael Cohen, is not competent or cannot be relied on to cover up Trump's crimes. That is Jeffrey Epstein bragging about leverage that he has over Trump, telling someone he knows Trump's secrets, the stuff beyond the headlines. In another message, Jeffrey Epstein writes of Trump in 2019, 8 months before he died in prison, quote, "Of course he knew about the girls," end quote. It's not whispered, it's not implied, it's not some sort of code, I don't think. Epstein just stated in that moment that Trump knew way back in 2019 what Epstein and his friends had been doing with those girls. Epstein is clearly talking about the girls that he's been moving around like cattle. He says, quote, "Of course Trump knew about those girls." End quote. And by the way, as it turns out, Michael Cohen did flip like a pancake, just like Epstein said he would, but you already knew that. In another email, Epstein writes, quote, "I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Virginia spent hours at my house with him, and he has never once been mentioned," end quote. Now, this one is asking a little bit more of us to try and figure out what Epstein meant by that. And I could be off base here. I could be wrong. But I believe that that line, "the dog that hasn't barked," is a reference to a Sherlock Holmes story that can help explain some of this. Hear me out. I mean, you might not know this, but "the dog that hasn't barked" is sort of a famous literary reference. It's right up there with, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, or et tu, Brute, or to be or not to be. We're supposed to recognize this. We're supposed to know what this means. The Sherlock Holmes story is called The Adventure of Silver Blaze, and in this Sherlock Holmes story, a racehorse disappears, a man is murdered, and in his investigation, Sherlock Holmes points out that the guard dog at the scene of the crime did not bark when the crime was being committed. That dog does not bark. Why didn't the dog bark? The answer is because the dog recognized the criminal. The dog's silence was the clue. The dog not barking, the thing that didn't happen, is what told Sherlock Holmes who was involved, who did it. So when Jeffrey Epstein calls Trump, quote, the dog that hasn't barked, I believe he is saying Trump is the one whose silence, whose lack of alarm is suspicious. The one person who should have reacted with shock and surprise to Epstein's sex crimes convictions didn't, because he already knew about them. There's another piece of this that people forget. The story that Trump tells about being the hero who bravely kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago because Epstein, quote, was a creep. That's still what Caroline Leavitt is saying today. But that is not the story that Epstein's circle tells. And according to people, including President Trump himself, he actually said this. Trump really said this to reporters. The reason that Epstein and Trump fell out was that Epstein stole then 16-year-old Virginia away from Mar-a-Lago while she was working there as a spa girl. Epstein poached one of his spa girls. Her job was to, you know, clean up rooms and move towels around and stuff like that. Epstein got her to come work for him as a masseuse instead, and we know what that means. So even Trump's, you know, I'm the good guy, I kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of my club, it doesn't hold up. His own explanation for why he kicked Epstein out is freakish. It's been a big week for Epstein news, maybe the biggest week since the day he died. There are 20,000 pages of emails and documents from the House Oversight Committee and a straightforward, yet somehow controversial, piece of legislation coming out of almost nowhere to clear both the House and the Senate and be signed by the president in 48 hours? That is remarkable. This is what we wanted. Let's see if the Department of Justice plays along. Meanwhile, there are these files from Epstein's estate, these 20,000 emails. And you know what name shows up in those emails more than any other? Not Bill Clinton, not Larry Summers, not Beyonce. Donald John Trump. Trump's name appears in that tranche of emails more than 1,000 times. Of all the Jeffrey Epstein emails released to the public last week, Trump's name appears in more than half of them. President Trump is a co-star in the Jeffrey Epstein cinematic universe. And yet, the story that so many people cling to, the story that says Democrats are the monsters in the basement, never asks why the man who promised to drain the swamp keeps appearing in the swamps. Here's the truth from what we already know. Before the full file release even lands, the name that shows up more than any other in Epstein's orbit, the name that appears thousands of times, is Donald Trump. Not Biden, not Hillary, not Hollywood, not the deep state, Trump. He is the gravitational center of the whole thing. Think about that for a moment. Let that soak in. We did this. The bill passed. Trump signed it. Congress said, release it all. But we still don't really know what will happen next. Because almost immediately, the Department of Justice announces they're reopening parts of the Epstein investigation because of some vague, unidentified, undefined, quote, new information, which suddenly, conveniently, means they can lawfully withhold the very material that Congress is compelling them to release. All of this is courtesy of Pam Bondi, who, I'll remind you, was, for 8 full years, 2 terms, Florida's Attorney General. While Epstein was still committing these crimes and new victims kept coming forward, new allegations kept surfacing, Epstein continued operating in Palm Beach like nothing had ever happened to him. And Pam Bondi had the power to reopen these cases, the power to bring state charges, the power to say, not in my state, not on my watch. And she chose to do none of that. She hid behind the 2008 plea deal like it was a federal problem that she just couldn't touch, even though state-level sex crimes were still absolutely prosecutable. Epstein's abuse didn't just stop because the paperwork said it should have, and Pam Bondi, who could have tried to hold Jeffrey Epstein accountable, simply did not. Back to the present day, what we are hearing from Bondi is not transparency. It is a rope-a-dope. It is a bait and switch. It is a loophole so big you could fly the Lolita Express right through it sideways. Because if an investigation is active, DOJ doesn't have to release anything. And if DOJ doesn't have to release anything, then reopening an investigation becomes the perfect way to keep the truth buried forever. Promise the truth, pass the law, hold the press conference, and then make sure that nothing changes. Aren't we done falling for that? Aren't we better than this? And it matters because we already know what we already know. The man who shows up more than anyone else in the Epstein orbit is the man that so many people have gone all in on, pushed in all their chips, built their entire identity around defending. So ask yourself, are they protecting the investigation or are they protecting someone's reputation? Because the truth is not supposed to work like this. Justice is not supposed to work like this. If you truly believed in moral clarity, then you should be furious right now. And I am telling you as plainly as I can, it is time to stop being afraid of the truth. It is time to stop letting institutions hide behind ongoing investigations and for us to not be fooled by the outrage of the day. Keep your eyes on the prize. It is time to demand the whole story, not the sanitized version, the redacted, the half-censored version. I don't care who gets caught up in this. Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Prince Andrew, I don't care. You've heard me talk about moral clarity on this show, and if moral clarity means anything, it means no more shadows, no more excuses, no more dogs that don't bark. We bark. The philosopher Immanuel Kant said, "If the truth shall kill them, let them die." Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." I say, we want the truth. We deserve the truth. We have earned the truth. And the truth cannot stay hidden forever, and the people who are hiding it should be afraid. They should be very afraid. We'll be back.
Hi.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.